All right, so let's say, so let's go. So we're picking up in the package from last week. We're picking up on page 5, the bottom of page 5. So again, we left off here last week with French presses and pour over coffee. So now we're picking up in Meretz Hashem, the bottom of page 5, Roman numeral number 2. This is actually a very interesting case that is going to open the door to a number of additional sub-cases. So the Gemara says as follows. Great case. Debei Rav Papa, shaf u'shichra mimana lamana. So we'll say, now watch this. Rav Papa was pouring beer, literally again, from one utensil to another utensil. So again, what was the goal over here? The goal over here was that there was beer with sediment on the bottom. Rav Papa didn't want the sediment, so instead what he was doing was, he was just taking a cup of beer and pouring it into another cup, but he was pouring it slowly so that the sediment would remain behind. The beer would be poured off, the sediment would remain behind. So the Gemara says, Amrli Rav Acha Midifti Ravina, Ha'ika Nitzotzos, what about the droplets? So if you look at Rashi says over here, so first of all, Shafu Shechra, Rashi says, Kol Heicha Detani Lashon Shafoi Benachasu Vapsolos Nishar B'Shuli Hakli. So the goal over here is he's pouring slowly from utensil 1 to utensil 2, leaving the sediment behind in utensil 1. I see the Gemara asks, what about the droplets? So Rashi says over here, Vahika Nitzotzos, Kitanos, Hanishofos, Ba'achrona Mitocha Psoles, Shekarim Bereishiva, No, Muchachon, Deborahu. So what about the fact, so this works fine. In other words, we'll say, remember again, the beer, the sediment settles to the bottom, which means you could pour off, let's just call it for argument's sake, 3/4 of the cup of beer without any borer issue. Because remember, again, for the top part of the beer, there's no mixture. There's no mixture. It's just beer. The Gemara says, but what happens when you get to the bottom part of the beer where you have the sediments mixed in with the liquid, and if you're pouring it off, isn't that borer? Isn't that borer? To which the Gemara says, the Gemara answers, Lebeira Papa lo chashivi. Shabbos says, so ultimately, again, Rav Papa essentially, again, left the droplets alone, the Gemara says. At the end of the day, Rav Papa didn't care about the droplets. Those weren't necessary for him. So for him, the big thing ultimately, again, was pouring off the majority of the unmixed liquid into the second cup. Rashi says over in Itzotzos Bera Papalo Hashivi, Shechenvani Umatil Shechar Hayakidamina Bab Matsia, Upsachim, Hilchach Inu Makmilin Itzotzos Kolkahu, Kishamagelin Itzotzos, Mashlechain Upsulasan Lochutz, Utchila Shefiasam in Upsulas Nikar de la Borhu. So I'll say, so essentially, the Gemara says, Rav Papa, it wasn't a problem for Rav Papa. Why? Because the truth is, by the time they were already getting down to the bottom of the kli, he no longer cared about whatever was mixed in. Essentially, he was mevater. You know, he just gave up on whatever was mixed in the bottom mixture. Okay, so both sides. The reason why this is an important sugya is because what the Gemara seems to be introducing us to is that the concept of pouring off from one utensil to another utensil could potentially be an issue of borer. So based on this, let's take a look at some cases. So first of all, if you take a look at number 10. So let me quote you over here. This is the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Shin Yotes. In Simin Shin Yotes, Sif Yodas. Well, say, listen to this. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, based on this Gemara, Mutra la'aros benachos mikli lechavero, obilvat shizar shekishi yivso kakiluach umaschin liret nitzotzos kitanos hanishovos bachron mitoch apsolas, yafsik v'yanichim im hashmarim. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch says, you see from here, that if let's say you have a container with liquid, and you would like to pour off liquid into a second utensil, but you're pouring it slowly. So I will say this comes up all the time, right? I have a pot of soup, right? All I want in the pot of soup, ultimately, again, is the broth. I don't want anything else, right? So I go ahead and I'm pouring off the soup into a secondary utensil. So now again, and now I'm leaving behind the chicken, the vegetables, everything else. So halacha lemaisa, Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter. So where does it become more complicated? It becomes more complicated if you're getting to the bottom of the pot already, where everything is more actively mixed together. That's where we get into a problem. And the Shulchan Aruch says in those cases over here, he says, "Ubilvad sheizar shekishiyif so kakiluach umaschilin leirid nitzotzos kitanos hanishofos bachron tocha psodas yafseg v'yanichem hashmarim." So the pour off method works as long as you're going to leave that bottom mixture intact. Intact. Why? Because we're also, here's what's interesting. This is not really a baruch shaila, right? Why isn't it a baruch shaila? Why?
There's no mixture.
because there's no mixture, right? On the upper liquid itself, nothing else is mixed into it. So you're pouring off liquid. That's not borer. That's fine as long as you don't get to the bottom of the pot, right? Once you get into the bottom and there's a mixture and you start slowly pouring stuff up, keeping other stuff in, that could very much enter into a situation of borer. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah comments on this. The Mishnah Berurah says, he goes on, he says, actually, I'm just going to skip a little bit. He says, Now, the Mishnah Berurah gives two qualifications to this halacha, right? Qualification number one, I will say, is that we are presupposing that when you're pouring stuff off, it's not for immediate use, right? Why? Because if it was for immediate use, then what? Then the whole thing is mutter, right? Why is the whole thing mutter? Because, again, remember, it's ocha mitoch psolas, right? Miad, for immediate use, and biad, with your hand. So obviously, the fact that this shayla is coming up indicates to me that I'm doing this for later use. Okay, so now that it's later use, so essentially, again, I don't have miyad. So because I don't have miyad, the only permissible way to do this is if there's no active borer involved. So therefore, in the upper liquid, where there's no case of borer involved, I'm allowed to pour it off. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're using this for immediate use, so for example, if I want to go ahead and I have a pot of soup, and I want to pour off the broth, I don't want any of the vegetables or the chicken or anything else, and I'm going to eat it right now, there's absolutely no problem, again, going ahead and pouring it slowly out of the pot into the bowl, and even if I get all the way down to the bottom, and I'm pouring, you know, at a snail's pace just to get the liquid out to keep everything else in, but I'm going to eat it now, that's totally fine.
If the top part is not a mixture at all, then do you really need those three conditions?
No, you don't need anything. That's the point. It's not borer.
It doesn't necessarily have to be miyad for that top.
No, part. Correct. It's not borer. It doesn't have to be anything. It doesn't have to. That's the. In other words, if it's miyad, then there's no problem at all. The only reason why this is coming up at all is because you're missing miyad over here. So because of that, you have to be careful how you're pouring it. If a halacha lemaisa, again, you're pouring off broth because you want to use it right now, then it's ocha mitoch psolas, miyad and biyad. You're going to be totally fine. That was I said the Mishnah Berurah, yes.
Can you always get out of miyad by taking a tasting? Or is it, why you can always...
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's a little bit, you're creating a little bit of like a halachic fiction, but yeah, but you could do that. It's a good point. In other words, so I'm pouring off the soup. It's not really for now. It's for later. But I'm gonna take a spoonful of it. So does that work? Yeah. No. Contrary to popular opinion, you don't have to eat everything, right? I know. As Jews, we don't often subscribe to that, but yeah, that could work. You know, the truth is, people do this on Yontif all the time, also, right? Again, a person wants to warm up something for children, wants to warm up something a little bit late. Yeah, you take a little bite, and suddenly, again, everything is better. That could absolutely work. Yes. Oh, so that's for sure. Remember, again, that's always going to work. Right? If you're removing whole amounts, that's fine. Here they're talking about a case specifically where you only want the broth, you definitely don't want the other stuff.
Say, like, a carrot's gonna fall in anyway,
and then, like, I guess it depends how skilled you are, you know, or how slowly, how much time you have on your hands. So listen to this, and the Mishnah Berurah comments over here, and this is an interesting case. He says, Va'asr lishpoch hashemen min harotov va'afilu im lo yisirein bakaf. El yishboch ba'kli atzma, tahavi kiborer biyad velo bikli, mikol makom aser, tashumen mikri psoles, legabi rotav, im ena rotze lechala shumen la'altar. So I'll say, this is interesting. So again, he's pointing out a case over here of where, let's say, I have congealed fat, so what do I want to do? I want to pour off the fat. So halacha lemaisekim, that's going to be an act of borer. So you should just understand, meaning the act of pouring is not what's inherently permitted. It's the act of pouring off that which is the ochel that is permitted. But pouring off the psoles is absolutely unequivocally going to go ahead and be an act of borer. Now, we'll say, now we come to what is one of the most interesting machlokim. So watch this for just a moment, right? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this idea over here. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this idea. Who is he quoting it from? I think he's quoting this in the name of the Magen Avraham. the name of the Magen Avraham. So we'll say, so the Magen Avraham, I think, Mishnah Berurah, takes this classic understanding that we have, which is, if you have, let's go with his case. You have the pot that has liquid and congealed fat. So obviously, again, I want the liquid, I don't want the congealed fat. So the act of pouring off the fat, ultimately, again, is an act of borer. It's an act of borer. Now take a look at number 12 on your sheet. So this is very interesting, because the Shulchan Aruch Harav disagrees with this premise. Now, although we don't accept this halacha lemaisa, it is something fascinating to contemplate. And the reason why shitos like this are important, even if we don't paskin like them, is because sometimes, also we know this in halacha, that sometimes even if you don't paskin a certain way, but when you're dealing with a more difficult situation and you need to kind of combine a number of different kulas, it's good to have some of these in your back pocket. So watch this. Shulchan Aruch Harav writes as follows. He says, Ve'ein takana rak lishpoch me'akos at sheyetze apsolos misocho. V'lo yinafeach alav beruach at sheyetze. Okay, we have to get into the specifics over here. He says, Aval mutil demafeach alav lakrivo ledofen akos va'az yatel v'yishpoch mimeno at sheyipol apsolos mitocho. So we'll listen to this. Let me just align the cases. Shulchan Aruch Harav says, in a case where you have the pot and there's liquid and congealed fat, Shulchan Aruch Harav says, you're allowed to pour off the congealed fat. Isn't that borer? Listen to this. This is incredible. He says, Shekevan shenefilas hapsoles lechutz, hu al yedei she'ochez biyado hakos imamashke shebisocho, umateo biyado, harize nikra borer ochem mitok psoles. I will say, this is so fascinating. The Shulchan Aruch Harav says that what's the definition, right? What are you not allowed to do? You're not allowed to take psoles from ochel, right? But you could take ochel from psoles. The Shulchan Aruch Harav says, essentially, that if you pour off the stuff you don't want and you're left with the item you do want in your hand, that's called ochel mitoch psoles. Isn't that fascinating? In other words, they're both saying, this is against kind of our entire way of thinking up until now, right? The Mishnah Berurah, which I think is a more classic way of understanding it, is that ochal mitoch psolas means you're removing the ochal, not the psolas. So any case where the psolas is being removed, ultimately, again, that's called borer. Shulchan Aruch says, it depends what you end up left with your hand. The idea is ochal mitoch psolas means you have to be left with ochal and not with psolas. So therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, if you were to take that pot, pour off the congealed fat, and be left with the liquid, that's not called borer.
You apply that's not to called so borer. Many other cases, though.
You're gonna, well, let's see. Yeah. So again, like I said, we reject this definition. But it's just interesting to see. Essentially, what the Shulchan Aruch Harav says is the sordid item, right, is the item that you are left with in your hand, not the item that you remove. So if ochel is left in your hand, that's called ochel mitoch psolas. If psolas is left in your hand, that's called psolas mitoch ochel. So like I said, I was hesitant to even include it because, like I said, it's rejected lahalacha. Really, it's rejected lahalacha. We pass like the Mishnah Berurah, like the Magen Avraham, with the more classic understanding that ochel mitoch psolas means that you're removing the ochel and not removing the psolas. So let's give some examples. Let's take a look at number 13. Shir Shabbos Kilchasa. So I will say there are some very shayach cases over here. So Lil Goody writes, Tzinsenes shel Gvina Levana, number 13, page 6 in the source sheet. Tzinsenes shel Gvina Levana, leben umadani chalav. So we'll say, so what do I have over here? Yogurt, cottage cheese, leben. So what happens sometimes, right? There's some liquid that pools on the top of it, right? So what do I want to do? Right, and the more heimish the brand, right, the more liquid you're gonna have, right. So that's the way it works. So we'll say, so remember again, now what do I want to do? So the truth is, you can mix it all together, and that's fine. Let's say I don't want it. I just want to pour off the liquid. So what's my shayla? Is that borer? I'm removing the psola. Really, again, that's psola. I'm removing psola from ochal. So he writes over here, asher lishpoch es me'achal av ela. You cannot remove this. So we'll say, now remember again. We always come back to this same point of ambiguity slash contention, which is, what is the definition of a mixture? You see, I could have said in this case, should it be mutter or asr to pour off the liquid? Right? Should be mutter. Why? Because it's separate. Right? But again, I will say, remember again, we go back to one of our definitions of a mixture of any two items that are attached. that are attached, right? So because halacha lemaisa, again, the psolas, the stuff I don't want is literally attached on top of the stuff. So that's called a mixture in halacha. Sefer Shabbos Hilchos Paskim, you cannot pour off that upper layer of liquid. Ela imkein yishboch yachad im kitzas min ha'ochel. Okay, so as we just mentioned before, there is a workaround, right? What's the workaround? Remove some of the ochel. So again, if you want to skim off the top layer of yogurt together with the excess liquid, that's fine, right? Because again, once again, that's not an act of borar. Anytime you're removing some of the ochel with the psolas, that's no longer borar. But to just simply pour off the excess liquid, that you cannot do. Now again, so I just, like I said, we don't pass it la halacha, but I just want to point out to you, the Shulchan Aruch Harav would paskin that it's mutter. He would hold that it's mutter because he would say, that's not called psolas mitoch ochel, that's called ochel mitoch psolas. Why? Because since I'm still holding on to the ochel, so to speak, what I'm left with, as long as what I'm left with is ochel, then it's not called bar. Like I said, we don't paskin that way, which is interesting to note. He goes on, v'chein, ein l'shaf sheif, ein l'shpoch es ha-shemen, shebesoch kufsas sardinim, o tuna. So I'll say it's the same idea. You're opening up a tuna can. Now again, we'll get to the halachas. So, well, actually, I don't know if we're going to get to the can, halachas of cans and bottles and things like that because we want to do bishul next. But all right, one day we'll get to it. So too, again, if you open up a can of tuna, right, or a can of sardines, so again, I want to pour off the oil. You can't pour off the oil. Can't pour off the oil. That is going to be an act of borer. He goes on, Ella, why are the, so what do? Ella, yotzies hadogim, v'yashiras hashemen. So what you do is you go ahead and you take out the fish and you leave behind the oil. So the words.
Would it be mutter according to Orcha Shulchan because it would be distinct?
No, because we're gonna these things are they're not distinct. They're really not. Like when you have a can of tuna and the liquid, it's all together. Sardines and tuna, it's all there together. He goes on. He says Elo yotzi es hadogim v'yashiras hashemen vaf mutter lahatzi bekaf es hadogim in hashemen. Okay, so Bas says this is interesting halacha, right? So you make tuna on Shabbos. Again, we're gonna talk about tuna on Shabbos, which we might have other complications as well. You really can't drain the tuna. You could drain the tuna before Shabbos. That's certainly fine. But on Shabbos itself, even just to pour off the liquid from the tuna that's in the can is really going to be problematic. You remove the tuna and ultimately again leave the liquid behind. Or I'll say again, like I said, technically speaking, remember you could remove some of the liquid also if you remove some of the tuna together with it also. In other words, if you're just kind of scraping away some of the tuna and together with that comes away the liquid, that's going to be fine as well. Yeah, anything ultimately again that has liquid mixed into it is going to be in this same issue.
And then it's just passively draining the water. Is that still considered committing borer?
Yeah, that might even be worse.
Oh, okay.
For sure, don't do that. Yeah, that might be worse because they're right. There you're really creating almost like a sieve, okay. Right, for it to happen. Yeah, so this halacha is going to apply. I will say, and this is really important halacha, this is part of the problem of making tuna on Shabbos, right, which is generally a person likes to drain, you know, the excess liquid. But again, on Shabbos, it's really problematic. The Aruch HaShabbos number 14 writes as follows. He says, lo ne'emar iser borer, ela ba'ofen shemotzi es hachefetz o apsolas mitoka tarobes. Aval im eina motziam rak mazis osam imakom lemakom betarobes. So I will say, this is a fascinating halacha. This actually, and by the way, this is going to open the doors to so many incredible possibilities. Listen to this. So the Aruch HaShabbos writes, the issue of borer, I will say, means is removal. Right? In other words, you only get into an issue of borer if you're removing something from a mixture. What happens if I'm not removing anything? Instead, what am I doing? I'm moving stuff around. I'm moving stuff around. So I will say, right, where is the key, the paradigmatic example where this is going to come up on Shabbos? Chalent. Right, chalent. Come on, this is meisim b'chol Shabbos, right? Soup also, but chalent is going to be even a little bit better of an example. Why? Because I will say, what happens? I don't want the potatoes in the chalent. I don't want this in the chalent. I want the meat. So what do I want to do? I want to go digging around there, right? Digging around. And don't do this in the serving bowl, please. Right? No one wants to see that. That's a Shabbos meal. Right? But lemaisa again, I want to dig around for what it is that I want. Is that an act of borer? So Aruch HaShabbos says no. Why? Because I'm not removing anything from the mixture. I'm moving stuff around, right? But moving stuff around is not called borer. And it makes perfect sense. It's not a chiddush. It's actually quite, it's just true to the definition, right? The concept of borer, the concept of dush, is the active removal of something that is called psoles. It's not moving it to the side, it's the active removal. Therefore, just the simple act, moving to something to the side, is not going to be an active borer. So whether it's with soup, or whether it's with chalent, or in a salad, so it's interesting, right? Because we're always conditioned to think that as part of borer, you can never really remove the stuff you don't want. And it's not totally true. What you can't do is you can't remove it in totality, but you could shuffle it away a little bit, right? You could move things in different directions in order to be able to get to the item that you want, and that is not called borer. Really quite fascinating. So he gives actually an interesting example. I don't know why he chooses this application, but it says in Amma number 14, the second paragraph, the paragraph that says Mem Zayin. He says, "Machapes mafteach mesuyam besoch tsar maftechos." So this is interesting. I have a key ring, right? And I go ahead and I have a key ring, and on the key ring, I have a lot of keys, right? You don't have to just be a member of Hatzalah to be able to have that, right? Right? Sorry. You have one key. That's disappointing, by the way. I know, but you have like a radio and a phone. You got a lot on the belt. You're like Batman over there. I have a whole ring of keys. This is what's interesting about, so, you know, one doesn't necessarily think about this, but halacha lemaisa, going through a ring of keys, right, looking for the key that I want. Now, again, remember, we're even leaving aside muktza issues, right? Let's assume for a moment there's no keys on here that are muktza, right? Let's leave that on the side, right? It's just a bunch of keys that are all usable. I got to find the key that I want. So does that potentially present a muktza issue? I'm sorry, a borer issue. So he writes over here, "Mechapes mafteach mesuya besoch tsar maftechos, mutar l'sayachas hamaftechos ha'acherim mitzdadim." You can move other keys to the side, right? Because remember again, why? The act of borer is the removal of something. If I'm not removing something, then halacha l'maaseh again, it doesn't pose a problem. Quite incredible. Ve'im baze iser breira, kevan she'enu motziya mitoch ha'tarobes. So I'll say, this is really interesting. So now again, you see that there really is a way to navigate, when even in a mixture, again, as long as you're not actively removing something, but you're moving it around, Now, again, I would say, you have to be careful how you apply this. Like, in other words, that if you notice, the common denominator in these cases is that the item as a whole is still intact, right? The chalent is still in the bowl. The soup is still in the bowl. All of the keys are still on the ring. Like, for example, I don't think you could apply this. Like, let's say I put salad on my plate. And I decide, you know what? I'm going to move the stuff that I don't want over here and keep the... That would be borer. It's all on the same plate. It is, but the truth is you've broken up the cohesion of the salad unit. The common denominator in all these other cases of the food in the bowl, the keys on the ring, is that there is cohesion as a unit. That has to remain intact in order for this halacha to be in place.
One question. If you have a pile of keys and you want to take one, and you remove the keys that you don't want, but is that a tarot? Because they're all keys.
There is a tarot, because remember, again, they're different keys. It's no different than according to the opinions that say white meat and dark meat, you know, especially if keys are even more, because keys literally serve different functions. They're not all the same key. So as they take a look at number 15, Yalich Shlomo Shlomo Zalman writes as follows. He says, this is actually very interesting as well. It's a very important halacha. He says, "Ach gam yeshlomar techevan shu nishar biyado ve'eno maniach es hashvuros b'makom nifrad elamachzer." So I'll say. So this is also this. By the way, I have to tell you something. I think most of us do this all the time, and I never thought about it until I saw this in Yalich Shlomo. Pesach. You buy a box of shmur matzah. Right? So you open it up, right? You know that little tefillah, that tefillah balachash that you say after you open up your $35 a pound shmur matzah, and you're like, please, just let three of them be whole. Please, right? So I'll say, so what happens? So now what do I do often? I open up the box and I take them out one at a time. Now the first one's broken, the second one's broken, the third one's broken. So again, like, what about borer? What about borer? Now, boss, and I remember again, I'll say it's all matzah. It's not all matzah, because remember again, a shavura and the shalim are different, like white meat and dark meat, different functions, right? Different. I'm sorry?
Why is that different than shalim? Just like when it's in a serving bowl, shalim, instead of moving aside, it's still considered to all be in the same.
I'm lifting it. Remember, again, generally what's happening is, at least what I do is, oh, so if you're pushing aside, that might be. Correct. I never remove anything from the bowl, right? Everything stays. That's what I'm saying. We'll call it the entity cohesion is still there. I'm just moving stuff around, but it's still contained in the same bowl. What's unique about the matzah is I'm taking it out of the box one matzah at a time until I get to my whole ones. Then ultimately, again, once I find my whole ones, then I'm going to do and put everything else back. Why isn't that bowl? This is very interesting. Shlomo Zalman Passing is very systemically fascinating. He says, Achi Shlomar, Techevan Shu Nishar Biado, Ve'eno Maniach Es HaShvuros B'makom Nifrad, Ela Machzirin Lebasof Lechavila Zu, Eino Nikra Borer. So, this is an interesting Chiddush. Shlomo Zalman says, because you're taking it out, but you never put it down anywhere. Because you're holding onto it in your hand, so therefore, again, it's interesting. Since I never put down the broken matzahs in a different place. Rather, my intention from the beginning is to put them back where they were originally. It's not called borer. It's not called borer. So I will say, it's quite fascinating. Which, by the way, now the logic over there, I actually want us to be careful with this. What that means is, if you're taking it out and putting it down on the table, right, and then going, that, or Shlomo Zalman says, would be a problem of borer. So the act of going ahead and keeping it in your hand and then returning it back to its original place once it's old, once you've finished, halacha lemaisa is not borer. Now look what he goes on. He says, v'dugma lekach chazara al kira grufa. So this is a nice lead into Mishnah, right? We're gonna see this concept, by the way. Again, without getting into all the details over here, but there's a concept of chazara. There's a concept, this is very important in Hilchos Shabbos, concept that if you have food on a covered fire, right, you take it off the blech on Shabbos night to serve, and you want to put it back, we're going to see that there are certain criteria that have to be met in order for you to return the pot back to the blech. And one of the criteria is that you're holding it in your hand. What's the logic? Because halacha almost says that when something is in your hand, in other words, you have not let go of it, it's almost considered to be tethered to its original state. So when I take my pot of soup off the blech and I'm still holding on to it, halachically, it's considered to be tethered still to the blech. Now Shlomo Zalman says, when you take the matzahs out of the box and you're still holding it, it's considered to be tethered to the box. Yes?
Yeah, let's say you don't put the matzahs back into the box. I'm like, okay, so I'll just use these for extra matzahs at the table. Or I put it in a different basket or in a bin or something like that, and then the matzahs for motzi get put on,
That should work.
Elsewhere.
Yes, yeah, so then it turns out that really there's no borer at all because everything was ochel. Everything was ochel. Yeah, that's even better, right? The question only comes up is really if you want to be able to return it back to the box afterwards. All right, well, it's just an interesting halacha. Okay, so we'll say, so then we come to our last section of borer.
Something similar to mukzah. If you create mukzah, let's say you tear up a sugar packet and it's in your hand, you can move it around and it's because it's...
Right, once it's already... Right.
Because once it's in your hand...
Right,
you can kind of
right, you have... Right, we see this in other cases. Good. So I'll say, the last section, somebody brought this up actually a couple of weeks ago, two shurim ago, about, so what happens ex post facto if a person doesn't act of borer? So what happens? Like what's, right? Like, what's the halacha? Like, what's the impact of this? So I'll say, so the truth is, this is actually part of a bigger discussion, and the Shulchan Aruch mentions this, in Simen Shin Yud Ches. So in Simen Shin Yud Ches, the beginning, in Simen Shin Yud Ches Sif Aleph. So I'll say, this is actually the halachos of Bishul. It's a great tie-in. Again, so the Shulchan Aruch writes like this. Now, we're not getting into Bishul, but here's what I want to show you. Hamavash, listen to this. So this is source number 16. Hamavashal b'Shabbos, right? Osha Asa Achas Misham Malachos. Person does Bishul or any other one of the other Lamites Malachos. So we'll say, b'mezit, if you do it intentionally, Asr lo li'ol, l'mo l'achir, mo t'lo l'achir, mo t'lo l'achir, If let's say a person purposely doesn't act a bishul, right? Reuven wakes up Shabbos morning, he decides, I'm having scrambled eggs for breakfast. It's Shabbos, I don't care. I'm going to have eggs. He does chilul Shabbos b'mezid. He is never permitted to partake of that food. others are permitted to partake of it on Matzei Shabbos. Right? Ubishogeg, what happens if Ruvain made eggs bishogeg? Then Aser Bo Bayom, he is not permitted to partake of it, right? Ultimately, again, that day, right? No one's permitted to partake of it on that day, but that night, everyone is permitted to use it, including Ruvain. Including Ruvain. Okay, so we'll say, so generally the halacha Hilchos Shabbos is like this. If you do a malacha b'mezid, you, the perpetrator, are never permitted to benefit from it. Others could benefit from it on Matzei Shabbos. If you do a malacha b'shogeg, no one is permitted to benefit from it on Shabbos, but everyone, including the perpetrator, is permitted to benefit from it on Matzei Shabbos. Now, what's interesting about this, I want to point out, is the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat in Zayin quotes the Gra. The Gra. So listen to this. He quotes over here, V'agra hiskim v'beiro v'shita satosis v'siyayit in the Paschal Merit v'mezit aser bein lo bein lachem amatzei Shabbos u'b'shogeg muter gam lo miyad. So listen to this. I will say, the Gra quotes Tosis. The Gra, quoting Tosis, says, it argues on this halacha and says that if you do a malacha b'mezit, everyone, including the perpetrator, is permitted to get benefit from it after Shabbos. And if you did the malacha b'shogeg, then everyone, including the perpetrator, is allowed to get benefit from it on Shabbos itself. On Shabbos itself. Now, that's not how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it, and the Mishnah Berurah says, "Ubemakom hatzorech yesh lismoch al zeh bebishul b'shogeg." And the Mishnah Berurah says, "Bemakom tzorech, in a situation of need." Now, how will you define need? I really like scrambled eggs before going to shul on Shabbos morning. That's not going to be a tzorech. But if you have some type of tzorech, this is the only food you have for Shabbos. This is what you have. You have whatever it might be, right? So, bemakom tzorech, you could rely on the Gra who says that if you do a malacha b'shogeg, you can go ahead and get benefits from it. Get benefit from it even on Shabbos. Okay, Shabbos says, so now, if we come to, yes.
Can you feed cotton with it?
Yeah, that would be, in other words, according to the Gra. In other words, Hanah, feeding your child with it is Hanah as well. So, it's going to fall along the same line. So the Gra would say, yeah. Shulchan Aruch would say, no. So we'll say, take a look at number 18. So how do we pass? So let's say, let's just plug this in over here. I accidentally do an act of borer. Right, on a simple case, right? I have a mixture. I have salad. I go ahead and in the salad, I don't like the croutons, so I remove the croutons. Mamish, like just an actual case of borer. I took away the psolas. I took out the psolas. So now, what do we say? So bepashtos, it sounds like that. Well, I guess I can't eat the salad. Right, I guess at the end of the day now, there was an act b'mezid. If the truth is, according to Shulchan Aruch, whether it's b'mezid or b'shogeg, or I should say b'shogeg or b'mezid, I can't get benefit from it on Shabbos itself. On Shabbos itself. The only shaila is on Matzei Shabbos, could I get benefit from it? So I will say, so the Ber Halacha, let's just finish up. The Ber Halacha writes, I am prima godim shakasa de b'di eved im berer, yeshlamar de asa la osa Shabbos, denena mi malacha Shabbos. Va'ayin shem shem istapik b'kam advarim b'inyan zeh, ulam lefi ma shakasav ha'gra le'el b'simen shin yudcha sif alif ein lahachmir b'shar malachas b'shogeg le'inyan di'eved v'ayin shem. So we'll say, so now listen to this. So the Ber Halacha says, b'pashtos, yeah, that's talacha. B'pashtos talacha is, if you do an accidental act of borer, or for that matter, an intentional act of borer, you can't get benefit from it on Shabbos. That's talacha. If it's b'shogig, you can get benefit from it on Matzei Shabbos. But if it's b'mezir, you're not allowed to get benefit from it ever. You, the perpetrator. And so the pashtos, the Ber Halacha applies that to borer as well. So therefore, again, I will say, I took the croutons out of the salad. The Ber Halacha would say, I'm sorry. You for sure can't eat the salad on Shabbos itself. In other words, not necessarily anyone else. I, the perpetrator, can't go and eat the salad on Shabbos. And l'maisa, on Matzei Shabbos, if it was shogig, I could eat it. If it was mezir, I can't eat it. Ketzos HaShulchan writes in number 19. He says something interesting. He says, Mishum debishon shalakach hamin sheina rotze kvar avra al iser borer uma mahani shemachzir lim komo de iser de avad avad. So I will say, this is interesting. The Ketzos HaShulchan says something interesting. He says, well, maybe what you should do is like this. Put the croutons back. Just put them back, right? Just put them right back in the salad, right? And Baruch Hashem, let's pretend like this never happens, right? So the Ketzos HaShulchan said that obviously doesn't work. In other words, returning the mixture back to its previous state doesn't undo the act of borer. The act of borer is an act of borer. That's it. There's no way to reverse that, right? Even if you put everything, quote unquote, Messiah says, back to what it was, halacha lemaisa, it is still problematic. Shmir Shabbos Kilchos, so writes number 20. He says, So what I'll say, so just to point out over here, so again, really if a person does an act of borer, really if they did it, they're really not supposed to get benefit from it. Right? Now, you have the gra in your back pocket, and what does the gra say? If there's a makom tzorech. There's a makom tzorech. So again, tzorech is one of those things that is a little bit fluid, right? In terms of what does it mean at tzorech? This is the main course. There's nothing really to eat. I'm not eating anything else. So again, you'd have to figure out what constitutes a tzorech. But me'ikra den, if a person did an act of borer, they really should not benefit from that act. Again, unless, of course, there's a significant need. Okay. Last source, I was saying, number 20, Shur Shabbos Kilchasa, Ein Isser Breira, Ela Imkin Umiskavin Livror, Kimon Shemasir Pri Rakuv, Mi Beina Peros Hatovim, Kadila Takin Es Perosov, Avalimnata Pri La Ochlo, Vi Achakach His Barish Shein Zer Pri Aratzilo, Kigon Shenatal Pri Viz Barishu Rakuv, Visham Oso Bitsad, Lo Avra Al Isser Breira. So I'll say this is very important, but this will conclude, is that Bore requires Kavano. What does that mean? I take like that. There's a basket of fruit on my table. I take an apple. It turns out I take the apple. The apple's rotten. So I say, what have I effectively done? I've removed a rotten fruit from the good fruit. An act of borer. So again, Shushab says that's not borer. It's not borer. Borer requires melacha requires premeditation. Right, since over here my intention was to do something that I thought was totally permitted, it's not an act of borer. And therefore, again, I will say, kind of segueing back to what we said before, because of that, there wouldn't be an Isser Hano with that. So if I wanted to cut off a piece of that apple, and let's say, again, eat part of it and leave the rest of it, so Halacha L'Maaseh said that would be totally fine. All right, they both say, Shkoyach, Mazel, finish. And we didn't, I don't want to say we finished Hilchos Borer. There's certainly a lot of stuff that we did not cover, but for our purposes, we are now, Baruch Hashem, complete with the Malacha of Borer. There's no shir next week. No shir next week, right before Shavuos. But Emirat Hashem, we're going to continue right after Shavuos. And if it's okay with the Chavra, we're going to jump a little bit to the Halachos of Bishul. And really sink our teeth, you know, no pun intended, sinking our teeth into Bishul, right? Really sink our teeth into this Malacha. And really, Emirat Hashem, spend a good couple of shirim on it. Bosei, Shkoyach. Sorry about all the schedule changes, Emirat Hashem. But, all right. I think this will be our timing for the next little bit. We'll daven Mariv in the main shul. Yeah, or actually, it's good to get down Mariv in here.
What?
Get down Mariv in here also. Okay, good.